No, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Just thankful to be here. Just thankful for the good time that we're having in God's house. Before we get into our message this morning, a couple little housekeeping things. First of all, I want to welcome our visitors with us this morning. If you're here and you're visiting with us for the first time, hey, if you need anything, you go out one of these doors, you're going to bump into somebody out in the hallway, and they're there saying that they're going to serve this congregation in any possible way that they can. Ask them for what you need, and they'll point you in the right general direction. And you can, whatever you need, they'll be able to help you with that. But we do want to welcome you here as a visitor this morning. I like what our sound team is doing with our screens. They're changing our screens on Sunday mornings to just catch a new glimpse, a new eye, and I do want to appreciate them for that. Also, if you're here and you've visited with us more than once, we now consider you family. We're glad that you're here with us. Make yourself at home. Hey, this is the Lord's house. If you want to raise your hands and praise the Lord, you raise your hands and praise the Lord. If you want to run the aisles, as long as it's done in the Spirit, you run the aisles. If you want to say amen, as long as it's in the Spirit, you say amen. Whatever the Spirit leads you to do, we're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. So you make yourself at home this morning. This is not my church. This is not the deacon's church. This is not any particular person's church. This is God's house, and I want you to make yourself at home and worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, one last thing that I want you to go ahead and put on your calendar. November 11th, 12th, and 13th, we're going to be having revival here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Brother Randy Johnson from Marlow Road Baptist Church is going to be coming and preaching for us that week. Hey, listen, there is no possible way that a church can have revival during revival if they don't show up. Amen. I want to go ahead and put that on your calendar. Mark those days off. Mark those evenings clear this so that you can be here. I've heard Randy preach a few times in my life. He does a wonderful job. I know that we have prayer commitments that we have sometimes. We have other things going on. But I want to tell you, if you will come and expect a blessing during revival, you will receive a blessing and you will grow closer to God. But if you're at home right back in your lazy boy watching TV, you're not going to get revived while the rest of us are experiencing revival. But listen, I want to encourage you with this. Don't wait till then to get in shape for revival. Begin right now praying, seeking, searching God in your life. If there's things there that needs to be removed, if there's things there that we need to grow closer to God on, then let's get those things handled. And that way when the preacher comes, he can't bring revival. But when the preacher comes, we'll already be in a shape that we're ready to receive the messages that God sends for us and that this church, hey, Alan says it almost every Sunday that he teaches. He says, if just two or three in our congregation will really get on fire for God, you'll be amazed at what God will do in our church. And I believe that wholeheartedly. Let's get on fire for God in order that we may make a difference in this community. We're going to be taking some of our reading from a lot of different places this morning. Again, I have just overloaded Shannon with scripture this morning, and I do want to thank her for her time and commitment to get these scriptures on the big screens for us, and that way we're all not turning while I'm trying to preach, because I think I lose you when we get to doing that. But we're going to start in John chapter number 5, and we're going all over the place this morning. I do want you, just for the next 15, 20 minutes, I'll be just as quick as God will allow me to be. Just cut everything else off. It's raining outside. You can't do anything when we leave here anyway besides go home and sleep and eat, which we are very good at. So just put everything else out of your mind for a few minutes and let's listen to what God has given us this morning to help us in our Christian life. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me, and I do ask you to pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I'm not worthy to stand here and to proclaim your word this morning. God, you know that I'm just a sinner saved by grace, God. God, you know that there's things that come into my life just as everybody, God. And I pray that you'll forgive me for those things, God, and help me to walk in a way that's pleasing to you. And God, I pray for the next few minutes as we look into your word, God, that you'll take offense out of us, God. Help us not to be offended by your word, but help us to be corrected by your word. And God, I pray as we get into this word that you'll speak to our hearts, speak to our lives, that when we leave here, we can be closer to you, God, that we can be in a place where you can speak to us. And God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, God, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. God, I want to thank you for every family that's here. God, I pray a special blessing on them, God, in every aspect of their life. I pray that you'll bless them, be with them, God, and help us to give you glory with everything that we are. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. This morning I was going to ask you to stand up, and I'm not going to, because I'm not here to try to embarrass anyone, and I'm not here to try to point out anybody, because God's Holy Spirit is in control of that. It's not my responsibility to point my finger at anyone. It's not my responsibility to make you feel any certain way, but the Holy Spirit can point us out just fine right by himself. But if you're here this morning and you know that you have been saved by the grace of God, you can remember the day. And I'm not talking about the date, the time, the month, or anything like that, but you can remember the time that you got down on your knees and you asked God to forgive you of your sins and for Jesus Christ to come into your life. I'm not going to ask you for any kind of physical acknowledgement of that, but just acknowledge that in your heart right now. Now, if you're here this morning and you were not able to do that, you were not able to remember that time that you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, then before you leave here, you need to do business with God. Before you leave here today, there's something in your life that you're missing. But the majority of the message this morning is going to be to you that were able to say, yes, I know the day that Jesus Christ saved my soul. The majority of the message this morning is going to be to us as Christians and how our walk with Christ is. Again, this is not pointing fingers at anyone. This is not trying to, it's not my responsibility to do that. I just want to study with you in God's Word for a few minutes what God's Word says that we are. Now, first of all, I want to give you some good news. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, John chapter number 5, verse number 24, we're going to go through several verses of Scripture right here in John to begin with. Look at what the Bible says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Now look, that's you that are saved. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. I want you to notice it didn't say will have eternal life. It says you hath, or we would say have, everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That doesn't say that you will pass from death unto life. That says that is, or that you are passed from death unto life. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you're not waiting to get to heaven to receive eternal life. You have eternal life this morning. That's what God's Word says. That's not what I say. That's not Baptist doctrine. That's not anything else. That is saying this morning, if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, that you do have eternal life. John chapter number 3, verse number 15 and 16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter number 3, verse number 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Listen to how that said it again. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John chapter number 6, verse number 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse number 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I want to tell you this morning, if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have everlasting life. You have eternal life. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I can't take it out. The president can't take it out. The Pope can't take it out. Nobody can take your name out of the Book of Life this morning. You are saved by the grace of God. You have everlasting life. But look, I want to ask you something. You that are here this morning and you know that you've been saved by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, once you got saved, do you remember that day when you got up off of your knees, wherever you were at, and you had just asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? You've got the greatest gift ever. You now have eternal life. I mean, you went down being condemned and damned to hell, and by the time you got done praying, you got up and you had everlasting life. Now, once you did that, can you remember that feeling that was on the inside of you? Can you remember how everything seemed better that very moment? All your problems wouldn't fix or anything like that, but life in general, I mean, there seemed like there was a weight that come off of your shoulders. I was speaking earlier about how that I was 7 and that I ran to my room, run to my dad. You know, I couldn't go to sleep before that. I was terrified. I was scared. I knew that if I didn't wake up in the morning that I would not be in heaven. And after I went and I prayed and I asked God to come into my life and for Christ to forgive me of my sins, I got up and I went to my room and I fell asleep just like that. the peace of God and the comfort of God come over me at 7 years old like I had never experienced in my life. So congratulations this morning. You have that gift of eternal life. But you want to know something? That day that I got saved at 7 years old, the next morning when I got up, I wanted to walk with Christ. I wanted to tell others about what had happened to me. I wanted to give everybody else that same opportunity and that same gift that I had received, that there was something new and exciting on the inside of me. But you know what? I realized very quickly that my free will and my choice was not gone. I realized very quickly that God didn't save me and make me a robot. God didn't save me and all of a sudden all of the desires of my flesh were gone. God didn't save me and say, okay, now you have no choice. You're going to be a little preacher boy, and you're going to walk, and you're going to sing Amazing Grace every day, and you're going to quote scripture to everybody, and you're going to wear a suit and tie. Everything's going to be godly in your life from now on. But see, I had the choice to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I also have the choice every single day, even though I have everlasting life, I have eternal life. Even though I have that, I have the choice every single day what I'm going to do with my life. I have the choice when I leave here. I can live for God today, or I can choose not to. I have the choice tomorrow. See, God didn't take my free will from me. God wants me to love Him because that I want to love Him and because He is worthy of my love. He don't want me to love Him because I have made Him or He has made me love Him. He still gives me my free choice. See, I want to give you a verse of Scripture in John chapter number 8, verse number 36. John chapter 8, verse number 36, it says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." I'm not trying to take this verse of Scripture out of context. I know this is saying that we are set free from our sins, but I want you to know that when Jesus Christ saves us, He sets you completely free. You are 100% free. Another verse of Scripture, Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 13. "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." If you've been saved this morning, you have been given liberty. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." A little lower in the Scripture there, in verse number 15 and 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now wait a minute, He started this saying, "Brethren, you have been called under liberty." So He's talking to other believers. And now in verse number 15, He's saying, "But walk not in the flesh, walk ye according to the Spirit." So you know what that tells me, Ray? That tells me you have a choice. You can either walk to the flesh or you can walk in the Spirit. So my free choice is still there. Verse number 17. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." In other words, He's saying, look, the flesh and the Spirit, they're completely opposite. You're either going to satisfy one or you're going to satisfy the other. You can't satisfy them both. You're either going to make your flesh happy and do the things that the flesh wants you to do, or you're going to make your spirit happy. And I want to tell you what, your spirit is made up of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, that moved on the inside of you the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So now we know that we have eternal life, that we have been saved, we belong to God. I can no longer belong to Satan. I can no longer be a child of Satan anymore. See, you know, that's what we don't like to say this, but I was a child of Satan before I got saved. The day that I realized that I come to the age of accountability and I realized that I needed Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, from that day forward until I accepted Christ, I belonged to Satan. And Jesus set me free from that. He gave me liberty. He also gave me choice. So you're sitting here this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you are still a free moral agent to make any free will choice that you want to make. You can do anything you absolutely want to. So my question is this. I heard a couple of amens when I was talking about having life. I heard a couple of people that was excited, and some of you even nodded your head once or twice. When I told you that you have eternal life, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we should be excited about that. That should be something that just, man, because we're a winner either way, that should be something that stirs something on the inside of us. That should be something that just, woo! I mean, if I could shout, I would shout, but that wasn't much of a shout. That was more like Ric Flair. I may have to start strutting in a minute. I don't know. Hallelujah. But we should be excited about the eternal life that God has given us. That should just be joy. And I want to ask you something this morning. If you've got something that you can be excited about, if you've got eternal life, if you've got something that a life that nobody can take from you, even if you lay down this life here on this earth, you're going to wake up in heaven. You're going to be there in the presence of God. You've got that life. You've got that exciting life. Then why do we have so many signs of death in our life? Why do we have so many things in our life that makes people look at us and wonder if we have life or not? See, Randy's a nurse. Randy, if you see somebody laid down on the street out here after service, if you go out here and I'm just laid down and no, everybody's making a big circle out of me, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to walk out there and you're going to start placing your finger somewhere around my neck, loosen my tie a little bit for me, if you will. You're going to see if I've got a pulse. You might do it on my wrist. You're going to get down, see if I'm breathing. You're going to check my, what's the word I'm looking for? My responses and my vital or my life signs. You're going to check my vitals. This morning, I want us to look and check our vitals. Where are we? Are we experiencing life like God wants us to experience life? Are we showing signs of life? But see, so many times, there are things that come in our life that shows opposite of the ways of life. See, Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 12. I want to get something out of the way very first thing. Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 12. This is not going to be hallelujah until we get to the end. You can hallelujah after a while. Get your hallelujahs ready, okay? But right now, it's going to be oh me, for me. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, so number one, I want you to do this. Anything that is your opinion, any sentence that you have to start out that says, I think, throw it in the trash. It don't mean anything. What you think is fixing to mean absolutely nothing. What I think is fixing to mean absolutely nothing. Well, preacher, I think that I... Okay, so what's more important, what you think or what God's Word says? Because the Bible tells us there is a way that seemeth right to a man, because I think that I'm right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are we showing ways of life or ways of death? So Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 25. Listen what this says. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Hey, that's a life verse right there. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, verse number 29 is what I really wanted to touch on. Those other verses were really good about not lying and those kinds of things. But look what it says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Now, if we want to get right down to it, there's a whole lot of communication that comes out of our mouth sometimes that could be considered corrupt. Well, preacher, I think sometimes that I just mess up and I'm just going to get down with it this morning. Ain't no sense in beating around the bush. I think that I can cuss, preacher. I can cuss and I can be saved. Hey, we done covered the fact of whether you're saved or not. If you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and he has covered your life with his blood, you're saved. You have eternal life. But now listen, if any of these things that we're fixing to talk about this morning, and you know I'm not a do and don't preacher, I believe that you got one living on the inside of you that can tell you, I want to give you some scriptures that's going to help you with some of those don'ts. Okay? y'all didn't quite catch me with that. So here we go. But if you can live in sin, you can practice sin every single day, and it does not bother you at all, I want you to be really careful about whether you're saved or not. Be sure that you know that you're saved and that the devil hasn't given you a counterfeit of God's grace. So the Bible tells us here, let no corrupt communication come out of that. Well, preacher, I think just because I cuss a little. Preacher, I think just because I tell jokes that I should not be telling. Preacher, I think because I lie sometimes in order to get ahead in something. I really don't think that that affects me. Well, now, I'm not going to tell you that it's going to make you saved or lost or anything like that. But what I am going to tell you is not that's not one of the ways of life. That is something that is a way of death. That is something that's going to start to smother out your vital signs. That is something that is going to be in your life that others cannot see the light of Christ in. It says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. As we go from time to time, as we go from day to day, there are things that enter our life. There are things that show death instead of life. We're supposed to be bearers of light. We're supposed to be things that don't point others to the cross of Christ and that gives glory to God with our lives. Hey, I know sometimes it's tough. You might be going down the road and almost get hit. You might be going through the house and stub your toe. You might do something and something come through your mind and through your mouth because we're exposed to it all the time. But I'm going to tell you that we as Christians, we should watch our mouths because what comes out of our mouth directly influences other people. And it's hard for me to give blessings out of my mouth. Listen, the Bible says that it's impossible for me to bless and to curse out of the same mouth. That we need to be very careful what comes out of our mouth in order to see whether we are given ways of life or whether we have signs of death in our life. Next, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. I thought Alan was going to read this in Sunday school this morning. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. For the love of money. Does anybody in here love money? No, we ain't going to raise our hands to that. Are you crazy? Man, if you do, we're going to stop and have prayer right now. Because we don't admit our sin. What in the world? Who would do that? Hey, I don't love money, but I really, really like it. And I really, really, really like my wife. I love my wife. But that's how close it is. Hey, we got to be careful because small things that come into our life. Preacher, are you saying that I can't have money? No, I want you to have plenty to live and plenty to give is what I want you to have. I want God to pour out financial blessings on your life in order for you to be comfortable and in order for you to help others to be comfortable and for you to use those finances to point others to the cross of Christ. Man, that'd be wonderful. That's what I want you to have. Actually, the Bible even tells us that God will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on us. And I don't know if that means Benjamin Franklin's or not, but that would be fine with me if God wants to pour Benjamin's down on me. My little girl came in Sunday school class this morning asking for some money to take to her Sunday school class for an offering. And she couldn't just come in there and say, hey, can I have some money? But she had to do the make it rain thing. Daddy, I need some money. Honey, I've never made it rain. What in the world are you talking about? But sometimes if we're not careful, money... The love of money, the love of possessions, the things out here in this world, they get to be so important to us that we want to see how much of it that we can hoard up, that we're willing, as Alan was talking about in Sunday school this morning. Sunday school is great if you're not attending, but Alan was talking about in Sunday school this morning about the rich young ruler that said he had so many possessions that he was going to have to tear down his barns and build greater barns so that he could hold all of his possessions. And you know what? Sometimes we begin to be so concerned about our possessions and our money that we forget to look around and see somebody else that God may have put in our life that we should be blessing, that we should be helping, and other ways that we can give in order to further the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you something. When it gets to where you're old tightwad and you've got so much money that you could burn a wet mule in a swamp, it's time for you to help somebody else. It's time for you to give back to God. And I want to tell you, when we get to where we're such hoarders that we can't do anything unless it includes us, and we're so selfish that we can't do anything unless it's for us, then I believe that we're showing ways of death in our life instead of ways of life. Proverbs chapter number 16, I'm going to move through these real quickly because y'all are leaving me. Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 18, pride groweth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Man, sometimes it's easy to get pride in your life. Hey, Alan was lifting me up in Sunday school this morning. Hallelujah. I'm the best preacher ever. Man, it's awesome. If y'all ever get rid of me, I'm just kidding. But we got to be careful. Listen, it's easy. It's great to give people compliments. It's great to receive compliments. Sometimes I don't even know how to respond to a compliment. Because just as I was praying back here in the office a minute ago before we come out here into the congregation, you know what's hard about me preaching a message like this? Is I'm guilty. Because you know what? As I've told y'all before, sometimes when I'm being a jerk to my wife, and she says, you know what, it's great for you to be a jerk to me and then put your holy britches on to go to church. We put our holy britches on in front of everybody else. I got my holy britches on this morning. Man, this brother over here said, where's the great man of God at? Or how's the great man of God doing this morning? I said, I'm doing good, but I'm not sure you're talking about me. Who else could you be talking about? But it's good we can put our holy britches on, we can put our tie on, and man, we can come to the house of God and we can talk about what everybody else is doing. But I want to tell you something. One thing that's tough about this message is I'm guilty of almost everything that we're going to talk about this morning. And if we're not careful, the ways of life are not as evident in our life as it is the ways of death. In your spiritual life this morning, if we were going to take your vitals, would we start doing CPR on you? Or we would say, oh, they're just playing, get up. Let's go. Because sometimes in my life, I'm not sure that my vital signs, my spiritual vital signs, are everything that they should be. But here the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction. See, some of you have may already put up some pride in your life already this morning. Because, you know, when somebody gets to plowing in our potato patch, we don't like it too good. It was really hard for me to say potato right there. I wanted to say tater patch, but my wife don't like for me to say tater and mater. So I had to say plowing in our potato patch. We're in our app. If I'm plowing in your tater patch this morning, you don't like it. I don't like it when people point out my faults and my flaws. I don't like it when somebody tells me that I'm not perfect because there's a way that seemeth right to a man, and that's my ways. The Bible tells me those ways are the ways of death. As we're here this morning and you look, sometimes pride comes into our life. It gets to where when people are trying to point out things in our lives that may be making us show ways of death or signs of death or that we've moved away from God, we swell up and say, well, that's not me. I know what my relationship with God is. Amen. You do. So does God. I want to tell you that I get up here and I preach on Sunday mornings and I preach on Wednesday nights and I study throughout the week and I pray and I try to seek God. And still sometimes I have to look at my life and say, where in the world is my life at? Where is my relationship with God at? And I got to find somewhere and get things right in my heart between me and God. So don't let that pride, don't let that corrupt communication, don't let the love of money get into your life. Listen, we're going to go to one right here that I know that people don't like to discuss anymore. Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter number 20, verse number 1. Wine. Oops, somebody done cut me off right there. Well, you preacher, you ain't going to talk about wine. No, I'm not going to talk about wine. The Bible's going to talk about wine right here. Okay? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now listen, I believe that I can back up my conviction, but I'm not going to tell you my conviction this morning. I'm going to tell you my thought. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. My Bible tells me that my body is the temple of the Lord. My Bible tells me that I'm supposed to use my body to edify you and to give glory to God. Let me ask you something. You may be here this morning, you may be saying, well, preacher, I don't think there's anything wrong with me drinking. I don't think there's anything wrong. If I want to get drunk, I can get drunk. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Because the Bible tells me that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. How many times have you seen somebody that was in a drunken place that their life was giving glory to God or pointing others to the cross of Christ? Ever? I haven't. Now, I've seen some old drunk dudes get their guitar out and sing gospel songs, and that really just completely behooves me somehow or another. But have you ever seen anybody that was in a drunken place and they say, well, I'm pointing others to the cross of Christ in this place in my life? Have you ever seen anybody that was in a drunken place and you're saying, man, they're giving God so much glory with their lives? Now, I want to tell you something, because I'm going to back this up with me again. I've never drank alcohol. I don't know what it even tastes like this morning. But I want to back it up with my life. There are times when I'm on a softball field coaching a softball game that you could probably look at my life and say, well, you're not giving God glory with your life either. I know that. I understand that. And that falls into the same categories of my life then is showing signs of death. It's not showing signs of life. But this morning, as we look at this, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I want to ask you this morning, how in the world can we be in a place that God says, you're not being wise, you're being deceived, and say, man, this, I believe God said this is okay. I believe that God is okay with me living like this. Don't cut me off. I'm not pointing you out. I don't even know if we have anybody in the congregation that feels that way this morning. I just want to tell you that this morning that we're living in a day and a time where churches don't talk about God's word all the time. They want to, the Bible says that in the last days that people would have itching ears. You want to come in here and you want me to tickle your ears and tell you that God loves you and that God does love you. But God has also told us, he says, I want you to have signs of life. I have given you eternal life. Don't turn that liberty. Don't take that freedom that I've given you and let it produce things in your life that points to death, that you're not alive anymore, because he wants you to have life. I have seen wine. I have seen alcohol destroy so many lives, so many homes, so many marriages, that I don't think that God was behind that whatsoever. I don't think God was pleased with it whatsoever. And I love you enough that I want to give you the gospel. I want to give you what the Bible says. And then you can take and do with it what you want to. You pray and you ask God and you seek God. And if God tells you it's okay, he's not going to tell you something that's okay contrary to his word. But if God tells you it's okay, then that's going to be between you and God. It's not between me and you and God. So as we look at this morning, the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I'm going to move on. I don't think I got one amen during the middle of all that. So here we go. James chapter number 1, verse number 14. See, some of these topics have become so sensitive because we are so afraid of offending anybody anymore. We don't want to offend. I want to tell you what. The Bible tells me that his word is sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts coming and a going. See, it cuts me and it cuts you. It's not me doing it. It's God's word doing it. But we've got to the place where we don't want to offend, that we have quit giving God's word. James chapter number 1, verse number 14. By the way, we are not having any kind of voting on me for the next few weeks, just so you know. James chapter number 1, verse number 14. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Look, I don't tell you this stuff because I want to condemn you, or I want to tell you what you're doing is wrong, or that what I'm doing is wrong. It's not about that. I want you to have the best relationship with God that you can possibly have. I want you to point others to the cross as much as you possibly can. I want you to give all the glory of your life to God that you possibly can. Because James chapter number 1, verse number 14 and 15 pretty much sums it up for all of us. And I know here it says lust, but it's not always talking about a sexual desire when the Bible says lust. It could be the lust of anything. If anything comes into our life, it says, then go back to verse number 14, please. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Whatever it is that your flesh desires, when you're drawn away by that, that's when you begin to be tempted and enticed. Verse number 15, and then when that lust has conceived, when it gets to boiling on the inside of you, it bringeth forth sin. Hey, that covers us at all. Every sin, that covers it all right there. From anything that we have talked about this morning, to the things that happen in my life, to the things that happen in yours. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of death that takes your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm talking about the kind of death that you are far away from God and you feel dead spiritually. Preacher, does that happen? It's happened to me. It's happened to me while I was a deacon at a church. It's happened to me while I was teaching Sunday school at a church. My spiritual life got in such a bad shape. Sin entered into my heart and into my life. And I let pride come in and say, man, that's not me. I'm a deacon. I teach Sunday school. I do all this. That's not me. And then when God finally broke me down, and when God finally stayed on my heart, I realized that my lust had conceived and my sin had happened, and it had brought a spiritual deadness in my life. That's not where God wants us to be. But now look, I want to show you real quick what we should be having. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. I sprung this on her at last minute. Galatians 5, 22, this is what our life should show. I'm almost done. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I figured I'd get an amen right there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. We've put away all of those things when we belong to Christ. Verse number 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. One last thing and I'll be done. I was watching a movie the other night, and this movie was about a man of God, a preacher who lost his son. And as his son is laying there in the hospital and he is portraying a part that he is brain dead, that he is pretty much dead. There's only the machines are keeping him alive there. And I got to watching him, and it was kind of pitiful. I mean, this little probably 8-9-year-old boy, he had a role in this movie, and the whole thing he spent playing dead. I mean, that's what he did the whole thing. And as we're sitting here watching this movie, and I didn't mention it to the family because I didn't want to ruin it for everybody else, but I'm one of those people that I watch movies and I try to pick out things that don't fit. Or things that, oh, you tell that ain't real. You know, when I watch wrestling, I'm like, see, that ain't real. And I go, oh, but that is. That's real right there. But we was watching that movie, and this little boy, he was playing dead, and he was laying there, and his family was around him, and all of a sudden, you seen him. I mean, he twitched bad. And I was like, oh, he's not dead. You're trying to say that he's dead. I just seen him twitch all over. That little boy's not dead. There ain't no way he's dead. See, the thing of it is this morning, there may be some things that are in our lives that have made evident to us that there are some ways of death, that there are some signs of death, that our vital signs might not be as strong as they are. But by, you know what? By being in God's house this morning, you know what that tells me? And by you being able to say, yes, I know that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of me, you're still twitching. You're still alive. You're still seeking, you're still searching, and really and truly, you still want to walk where God wants you to walk. I want to give you two verses of encouragement right here, and I'll be done. 1 John chapter number 2, verses number 1 and 2. Actually, three verses, two different places. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, listen to this, if you've got sin in your life, and you do, because I do, and the Bible tells me if I say that I don't have sin, then I'm a liar and the truth's not in me. And I want to tell you this morning, the truth's in me, and that truth is Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse number 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I want to tell you this morning, if God's word has spoken to us, if God's spirit has spoken to us this morning and showed us some things in our life that you need to be careful because these things may be slipping into your life. These things may be evident in your life, and it may not be anything that I have said this morning. It could be tons of other things that come into our lives that smother our vital signs. It could be anything. I want you to know this morning, this advocate that we have with the Father, Jesus Christ. He has said, I'll tell you what, I'm here for you. I'm making intercession for you. I'm talking to Daddy on your behalf. I want to tell you this morning that He is willing to forgive us for anything that has come into our life, for any time that sin has snuck into our lives, for any times that we have opened the door and allowed sin willingly to come into our lives. I'm glad this morning that even though I can't barely say the word, but the Bible says that I have a propitiation, that I have somebody that's on my side, that I have somebody that went to bat for me, that I have somebody that was willing to give his life and shed his blood for me, that when sin comes my way, that he don't kick me in the butt and kick me out, and he don't say you're no longer one of mine, but he says I'm willing to forgive you, and I'm going to go to Daddy on your behalf, and I'm going to talk to him, and I'm going to tell him that's one of mine. He's got the blood on his life. I know he messed up. I know he's allowed sin in there, but he's still one of ours, and I want to forgive him. I want to give him grace. I want to give him mercy, and I want to bring him back into fellowship with us. I'm glad I got that on my side this morning. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Y'all come on, get an invitational song for me, please. If you look this morning, I want you to know something, that every single day, I have to rely on 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. The Bible tells me if I confess my sins, if I confess, you know, I want to tell you something. A while ago, I don't want this to sound kind of out of context of the way that I said it. I told you that I had never drank alcohol. But you know what? I have lusted. You know what? Money has become too important to me in my life. You know what? I have sinned before. I've seen things with my eyes that I shouldn't have been looking at. There's things that have come into my life. You know what? There's even been times when I knowed that I was supposed to witness to somebody that I didn't. The Bible tells me, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I want you to know that every single day that sin comes into my life, every single day that the devil is there tempting, he is laying traps out for us. He is trying to make us fall and to get away from God. He says, I know that I can't have your soul, but what I do want is I want your relationship. I don't want you to walk with God. I don't want you to give God glory. I don't want you to point others to the cross of Christ. So he lays those things out there for us. And we trip and we fall. But I'm glad to tell you that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. I don't have a tattoo, but if I ever get one, it may be 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Right here. So that every morning when I get up, I'm reminded of the love of Christ. Hey, you may have buffered me out a little while ago. There may have been something that hit home. There may have been things that you say, I can't believe preacher preached about that. Look, I didn't preach about it because I don't love you. I love you so much. No way near what God loves you, but I love you so much that I want you in the right relationship with God. But if you even block me out, and you said, I'm not listening no more, I can't believe he talked, listen to this one thing. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I don't care what your sin is. Don't matter. Look, he didn't say if we confess our little bitty sins. He didn't say if we confess our great big sins. He says, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just. See, you know what the bad thing of it is? Is if you do something to me and my family, and then you come back to me and say, Josh, can you forgive me? Yeah, I'll try my best to forgive you. I ain't gonna forget it. Let's just be honest, right? But I want to tell you something, that God loves you so much that when you go to him, you say, I confess my sins, forgive me of my sins, help me to truly repent and turn away from that thing. He says, I'll do it. And guess what? This is never going to be remembered against you again. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, it's gone. No matter what it is. Now, we can't understand that because we don't have that mercy and grace and forgiveness in us. This morning, I want to ask you, how are your vital signs? Does your life show more signs of life than it does of death? If you were at a spiritual ER this morning and they were checking you to see if you're alive or not, now I've done told you on the authority of God's word, if you've accepted Christ, you're alive. You have eternal life. That's not mine. That's the authority of God's word. You're alive. But if they checked you at a spiritual ER this morning, what would be their next step? Would they pick you up and say, go home because everything's fine? Or would they say, we are in an emergency situation? We are in a place that this person needs help. Well, I want to tell you what, Jesus Christ is that help. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Preacher, I'm here this morning and I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that he died on the cross for me. I do not want to go to hell. I don't know if I can accept him today or not. I don't know if I can move. But would you just please pray for me? I don't want to go to hell. I know Christ died for me. Just slip your hand up. I won't do anything but pray for you. I won't say your name. Nobody but you and I will ever know. And of course, God. You might be here this morning. You might be saying, Preacher, it's evident in my life between me and God that things are there that shouldn't be there. It's evident. God has showed it to me. May not be anything that you said this morning. May not be in what we call the top 10 sins here in the Baptist faith. But it's evident to me that I'm not walking exactly where I should be with God. I know I need to get things right with God. Would you just pray for me? Would you just raise your hand? I'll just pray for you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Preacher, just pray for me. I know it's not going to be magic. I know I'm not just going to walk out of here today and everything be good. I'm going to have to strive to get closer to God. But would you pray for me? They're going to sing here in just a moment. You're going to stand to your feet. I want to tell you, help is right here. Help is right here around this altar. Well, preacher, I can pray right where I'm at. Yes, you can. But I want to tell you what, sometimes it's good to sock the devil in the nose and let him know that I don't care who knows that I need to get things right with God. I don't care who sees me come and pray. I need help and I'm willing to go get it. As you stand to your feet, Hannah, if you will sing. If there's anything in your life that you need to come and talk to God about, come and talk it over with Him. You don't have to tell me a thing.
Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive.
Amen. Thank you for your attendance, for your attention this morning. I really appreciate you being here with me. I just looked up at the clock a few minutes ago because I really don't care much about it when I'm preaching. The next time that I say, Lord, help us for the next 15 or 20 minutes to throw everything else out, y'all just say bull because it's not going to be 15 or 20 minutes. Thank you for being here with me this morning. I trust as this message has been a help to you as it has to me. As we go out this week, let's do our best to allow our lives to point others to the cross of Christ. Shane, will you dismiss us in word of prayer, please?